The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
To Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Today is the 8th of April 2017. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and check out, well, we're going to run two products. There's three brand new ones out there, but we're going to be running the Winner's Circle and Etched in Stone. These are two serious products that I've worked very hard on through a lot of years with it, but now we're all bringing it to market. I can tell you this. Both of them are definitely of an old, they like saying old school. Well, the movements just in the Winner's Circle alone, when you start learning about, if you've never done it, like a high shrug, we talk quite a bit about the forgotten movement of the pullover, whether it's a straight arm, bent arm, if you want to do a dumbbell over, you know, the middle of a bench, okay? Same way with dips. A lot of things that, you know, Jefferson lifts, things of that nature, things that have fallen out of favor, you're not going to see. If you see them in a mainstream gym, I'd be pretty surprised, other than these hardcore gyms, which are very few and far between now. That's a biggie. But the Etched in Stone is definitely the king of the beast with everything we got here. For men who are really suffering, and I mean in a big way, whether you've lost your confidence, you've just kind of lost your way, you can't make decisions, you're so out of shape, you know, you've got that pregnant belly or you've got the spare tire, these are things that can be alleviated, but they have to be worked on and worked on hard, and you need a program that is very basic and simple, and here's what we do. We start out with sandbags, and if you would like to move into natural stones or our own here out of the steel, the Husa steels we make, which are all based off of the dimensions when I went to Iceland for the Husafell stone. Those can be filled with shot and plates, obviously, with them, but that's like the top of the food chain at that point. I am working with Dennis, as everybody knows, if you've been following him here. He was 271 pounds. He had no endurance. I mean, the guy could hardly move. Diabetes is rampant in his family, heart disease, all those things that claim so many people so young. He's not been here the last couple workouts because they just had their first child, he and his wife. But prior to that, in 6 weeks, we went from 271 down to 237. Yes, I am using conventional lifting and body weight, but I didn't want to kick that other stuff until around the fifth month. But because of the condition he was in, we had to start it up within, it was probably within, I think we did about 3 weeks of the workouts, 2 weeks, and we kicked this stuff right in. And he's progressed like crazy, and he's dropping the weight like crazy. He's got a great attitude now. Things are looking up. So as we keep progressing with him, you'll see more and more film. But that's what that course entails, and it does a lot more than that. So go out and check that out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. As I said, the permanent pages will be up this week, and it'll be finished up and ready to roll. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look at all the shows out there. We have a brand new person on here, and I'm going to bring her in very shortly. We have Kirsten Tulick on here, and I can't wait to get her on here because just talking to her now off the air, I can tell you right now, she and I are going to flow very well here. And it's great to have new people on, and we will welcome her in momentarily. But I will tell you this, all of these things, all of the guests, all of our family of guests here, everybody here is very authentic, obviously, or they wouldn't be on here, but they've had so much experience doing things. And I don't, you know, I know there's a lot of good shows out there, but I know the feedback I get, and I still think we're second to none. and we're not the biggest now, but as I've told Kirsten and many people, and you've heard me on the air, we're going to be a national radio show, I guarantee it. Unless an act of God kills me, we're going to do it no matter what. As I said, we're going to introduce Kirsten right now. Number one, she's a bodybuilder. She's been involved, obviously, as she told me, she has a lot of friends in powerlifting. She's been the best way probably to introduce her, besides the next two things we're going to talk about here, is she's a strength, I don't even like saying that athlete stuff. I'm just going to say physical culture, but the girl is definitely strong, period. That's the way it is, and that's what I like about the people here. Next, she is the kettlebell queen, and recently, I didn't know that, I know that she's been doing this, but this is how I got introduced her. I saw her on Facebook doing a lot of mace work, and I was very impressed, and I'll tell you one thing, she's very impressive looking, let me tell you, and you can tell she's a worker. So, Kirsten, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you so much. That was some introduction. Wow.
Hey, hey, you know what? What did we say though before we came on air? With most people, they all like to talk, but how many are doing? And if you can't tell by anything you're showing that you're not a doer, then you don't have a set of eyes in your skull. So, you know, I look at it that way. Anything I missed, websites, anything else you want to introduce to the family? And we're, as everybody knows, Kirsten is brand new, and we're going to do an introduction show, and it ought to be very interesting. So take it away. Anything else you want to offer, please?
Well, pretty much, if anyone wants to, you know, follow me or find out what I do, I'm very, very active on Facebook. So you can find me on Facebook if you in the search bar, either just put my name, Kirsten Tulloch, or even if you put in my nickname, Little Tank, my picture will pop up and you'll know it's me, because just look for a chick with a mace and blue hair and that will be the one. there is only one. So I actually have two Facebook pages. I have my personal page under my name, Kirsten Tulloch, or Little Tank, and I also have a page which I run for my classes and my clients, and that's under Little Tank Training. So I can also be found there. I'm on Instagram under Little Tank, and I'm also on YouTube, and again, Kirsten Tulloch or Little Tank, you type either of those in and it should take you to my YouTube account. So I have quite a lot of content on there, but most of my content is on Facebook. Like I say, I'm very, very active on there, and I'm contactable through there all the time, to be honest.
Well,
that's
and
how most people get me.
Well, and that's good. I mean, that's how I found you. Seriously.
Yeah, I mean,
well, you know something, Paul Fire Power Gray was on here a few weeks ago, and we did a killer show on social media, and he was like wild, you know, and it wasn't all in a positive direction. It was a great show. Paul's a super guy, and he did say one thing, and I've thought about it, but never until we really got into this whole pro and con of social media. But the one thing he said, and this makes total sense, especially, you know, me finding you, was he said, you get to meet good people you probably never would have met before. And and there's a lot of truth that, without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, that, you know, I've been introduced by a lot of people, but, like, in your case, I saw you out there. I said, now, this is a girl that looks real, real interesting to me, and I would really like to talk to her. So it has its pluses, but it has – let me put it to you this way. I'm not I like it because, you know, you and I have to use it. I have to use it for the business and all that. But you and I both know there's an awful lot of BS going on there too.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing that bothers me is there's a lot of people that get sucked into that kind of stuff, and then you got trouble, and I don't know. It's a big pro and con with everything, and I think if you use it correctly, obviously, and you do what you need to do with it, yep, I got it. But, you know, as Paul was saying to me, he thinks there's far too many things that aren't good with it. And I have a tendency to lean that way. But that's a whole nother show right there.
I think, you know, social media, it's a really, really interesting thing. For me personally, it's been exceptional.
Yep.
I mean, I, you know, it's... That is how people find me. And, yeah. and that's how I get my name out there and get my message across, is through social media.
Yep.
I completely understand what you and Paul say, though, about the, you know, the bullshit factor, because yeah. it's incredibly high. But I think if you have, if you're quite smart and quite savvy, and which, to be honest, most of us in this game are, you know, there's very few of us in this game that are kind of stupid. You know, we've all kind of got, you know, something in our heads going on. If you have a good kind of like a bullshit radar, as I call it, you'll be able to sift out the ones that you don't want to spend time with, and you'll find the ones that are better suited to you, shall we say.
Yeah.
But yes, so I mean, the social media, and it's brought so many people together all over the world who, like you said, you know, people that would never have found each other otherwise.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at like the community that you're part of with the stone lifting.
Yep.
And, you know, you look at strongman circuit and powerlifting circuits, and all of these things have grown so much more with the advent of social media, because now we can all communicate more freely, and it's easier to organize like global events now. So people are being brought together.
Oh, yeah.
So I personally try and look at the positive aspect of social media.
Yep.
There's always going to be a negative aspect. You can't get away from that. But no. we can block people.
Yep. Yeah, no,
we can choose to unfriend people or not accept friend requests. So I think it's a double-edged sword, you know, and we've got to take the good with the not so good. But I prefer to look at the positive aspect of it, because it's brought a lot of people together.
Yeah.
And I always think, you know, if it wasn't for social media, I would not be doing what I am now in the capacity that I am doing it.
No, I agree.
So yeah, for me it's been very, very good, but I do understand that view.
Well, but you know what,
completely understand it.
Oh yeah, and you know what the great thing is about this is, you know, we hit it perfect now. We have tentacles all in everybody now. You know what I mean? It's like, and you know something? Good people are always going to attract good people. Yeah, you know, you run the risk, anybody does, that, yeah, we all get a lemon here and there. But you know what? If you don't get a lemon once in a while, you're not living either.
And, I agree.
You know, you can't just hope that you're going to meet person after person that's either going to be doing similar things to you or agree on similar things. I've got no problem. I can be friends with anybody or closer. You can have a complete opposite view of what I've got. But the thing is, even though we might go at the end of the day, we still walk away friends. And that's what it's about to me, right?
Absolutely.
But you know something? Usually I don't ask this question first, but I'm going to today. I love the name Little Tank. Why Little Tank? Explain to the family about that, please.
Well, I was a competitive bodybuilder for a very long time, from the age of 17 until I was 30.
Okay.
And I lived in New Zealand for a long time too. And when I lived in New Zealand was when I was at my biggest, because I competed in the NABA physique class when I lived over there.
Yep.
And I don't know if you're familiar with the physique class in NABA, but physique, you're judged the same as the men. It's based on your muscularity, your hardness, your density, your symmetry. So when you're a physique competitor, you turn a few heads, because you're not just the average chick walking down the street. You're the average chick walking down the street with quads that are bigger than most men's. You know, and you know that's the kind of look that you're going for. And
cool.
And it's the, you know, the kind of look that, you know, people are, you know, peeping their car horns at you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Or they're doing the rubbernecking and rear-ending the guy in front of them.
that's exactly it. So when I lived there, that was essentially how I looked.
Okay.
And I used to train people who were getting ready for contests.
Yeah.
And I remember walking into the gym one day to train with one of my people, who was a girl. She was doing figure. And someone said to me, because they just took one look at my legs, and they were like, oh, my God, she's like a tank. She's like a little tank. And it stuck.
Yeah.
And someone just said, oh, little tank, little tank. And every time I walked into the gym after that, it was, hey, little tank.
That's
hey,
awesome.
Little tank. And that was it. It stuck. And so that must be about, damn, that's probably about maybe 11 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
And it just stayed. So even when I stopped competing in bodybuilding, people still referred to me as Little Tank.
Love
and,
it.
And I just kept it.
Yeah, it's a great name.
I quite like it.
And I like it too. That's bad as hell.
I guess it just allowed me to create a kind of persona as well that, you know, because we all like to create something around ourselves that kind of differentiates us from everyone else. So I would kind of just refer to myself occasionally if I was writing articles or putting out YouTube videos or something. I would introduce myself as Little Tank. And then all of a sudden that sticks in people's heads. So it started off as a joke and then it stuck and I ended up liking it. So,
that's awesome. I think that, you know, and you're right. It differentiates you from the crowd. And that's a good thing because you know what? Seriously, you know, I don't have to tell you. It's a brand. Mm-hmm. Little Tank is branding. That's what it is.
I mean,
yeah, it's an exceptional way for people if they don't know you. You're going to want to, you know, that's why I asked you that first. I mean, I was intrigued. Why are they calling Kirsten Little Tank? I mean, that's some pretty cool stuff. All right. Now, I'm going to ask you the first question. Well, it'll be the second today, but it's normally the first I ask everybody. What were your influences, obviously, if there were any? Why did you get into... Well, obviously, you started. What was your first start in any type of physical culture? Was it bodybuilding? I take it, right?
It was bodybuilding.
Okay,
all right.
Now, I'll go into mine quick. My brother Jimmy had muscular dystrophy. Obviously, he passed away from it. You know, wheelchair bound, everything. As a child, young kid, 10-year-old, frightened of it. I could get it. You get reassured by your parents, of course, but you're a kid, all right? Well, one day down the corner store, there it is, the comic book that just made me everything I ever wanted to be. It was The Incredible Hulk. And those two events in my life are what touched everything off to where I am today. What was it, a neighbor, a parent? Was it a comic book? What touched that stuff off in you where you decided, you know what? I want to be a physical creature here. I like the whole idea of physical culture. I like going out, you know, maybe, you know, like all of us, we don't know what the hell it is at first. But as I said before in other shows, Kirsten, it was like when I grabbed that crappy one-inch bar with sand weights that were leaking all over the floor, I found it was Eureka, man. I knew. And I had played organized sports all the time. I still was. But tell me, what was it that set you off, you think?
Right. Well, my grandfather was a pioneer in Scottish strength sports. And, you know, I mean, I posted a picture of him to one of your Facebook pages just this week. Mm-hmm. So if anyone follows you all on Facebook, you'll see it. It's on the Etched in Stone page.
Yep.
And my grandfather, his name was James Moore, and he competed and coached at the time. This would be like in the 1950s.
Yep.
In the 60s, when men didn't do just bodybuilding or powerlifting. They did all three. They did bodybuilding, they did powerlifting, and they did Olympic weightlifting.
Yep.
And they would do it in a season. So like one would be done one season and then that would flow into the next and flow into the next. And I didn't know him particularly well. He passed away when I was quite young.
Yeah.
But I grew up seeing these pictures of him, these black and white pictures
yep.
of him, whether he was snatching a barbell or in a deep squat or he would be, you know, shirtless in his bodybuilding phase and just being incredibly impressed by this man.
Yep.
And just I was fascinated by him. And I looked at these magazine cutouts and, you know, he set up a gym in Aberdeen in Scotland where I come from originally. And it was called the Health and Strength Club.
Oh,
and
cool.
It was the first of its kind in Aberdeen, and it's still there to this day.
Is it really?
Year 2017, it's still there.
Awesome.
And he set it up, and they churn out a lot of strength athletes from all fields. You know, whether you are into stone lifting, or powerlifting, or strongman, these guys, you know, they come from that pedigree, that gym. Anyway, he trained all these young boys back in the 50s. And I saw all of these newspaper cutouts and things and just felt very, very inspired.
Mm-hmm.
But the funny thing is that when I first started training, well, when I grew up, I was an obese child.
Okay.
I was an obese teenager. So I had a real complex going on. You know, I was the fat kid at the back of the bus used to get made fun of.
Yeah.
And people would pick on and oh, don't be friends with her, look at her, da 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 da. And so when I left school at age 16, I was sick of it. It's like I'd had enough of it. I'd been that way from maybe the age 8 or 9 all the way through to 16, and I was like, something's got to change, something's got to give. And it's almost like something inside me knew that if I went to the gym, it would make it all better.
Yeah, I know. Yep.
Yeah. And so that was what I did. And I joined a gym in Aberdeen called the Credo Gym. It's not there now, but it was there for a very long time. And anyone from Scotland who listens to this will probably know the gym I'm talking about.
Okay.
And there was a lot of good people came out of that gym. And I went there and I met a cookie cutter gym instructor. Just this chick, she'd clearly never really done anything much of substance before, and her job was just to give me a standard program where she would have me warming up on a bike and then walking on a treadmill and then doing light weights. And I said to her, no, I don't want to do that. I want to lift weights. And she was just like, well, no, that's not the best thing for you. And I said, no, my grandfather was a champion. I want to do what he did. And she looked at me as if I was nuts. and I said, no, I really, really want to do this. So against her own, you know, set of rules, because obviously being in a kind of commercial type environment, she was ready to just give me a plan that she gave to everyone.
Yep.
And she went against her usual course, and she gave me it was a full body plan. And she gave me strict instructions to only be in there 3 times a week, which, of course, I defied. And I went in there every day. Mm-hmm. And then I started talking to guys in the gym. And, you know, they would see that, oh, this kid's training hard. Let's help her out here.
There you go.
So some of these old guys, you know, coming up to me and giving me a hand. And, oh, Kirsten, maybe you want to do it like this or do it like that. And that's pretty much where it started. And within about 4 or 5 months of joining the gym, I lost a crazy amount of body fat. I just looked like a different person.
Yep.
And lo and behold, a trainer in this gym, he's still a trainer to this day. The man is in his 70s and he's phenomenal. His name is Stan Main.
Okay.
And again, people in Aberdeen will know who he is. Everyone calls him Uncle Stan because everyone in the gym field knows him.
Yep.
And he came up to me and he started chatting to me. And, you know, what is it you want to do, Kirsten? So anyway, I'm chatting to him. Well, it turned out that this guy was one of the first kids that my grandfather trained.
Holy cow.
Seriously, you couldn't write this. He was one of the first guys that my grandfather trained in the Health and Strength Club. That automatically linked me to Stan. And he just took me under his wing. It was almost like, she's my daughter. You know, I'll look after her.
Yeah.
Like out of respect for my grandfather.
Yeah.
And he taught me a lot. And anyway, Stan ran a bodybuilding competition in Aberdeen, and it was the Mr. and Miss Granite City, and it was run under NABBA rules.
Yep.
And he said to me one day, he said, Kirsten, come and watch my show. It's on this weekend. Just come and see it. See what you think. So I went along and I watched it. And I'm watching all these, you know, people with their, you know, crazy tans and standing up there with their bikinis and trunks.
Yep.
And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, that's really good, but hell, I'm never doing that, you know, no chance. Well, the following year I was in it. And then the rest, it's pretty much history from there. I did my first competition, and I literally got bitten by the bug.
Yeah.
And it was an incredibly liberating feeling for me to be up there knowing that I was so different to the person that first walked into that gym.
Oh, yeah.
It was an amazing feeling.
And congratulations on that. And I'm going to tell you two things. When you said that to me about, you know, being heavy and being made fun of, and you're searching and you're thinking, and, you know, I call this thing, you know, when I talked about Jimmy and the Hulk, all of us, I don't care who you are, and I feel bad for anybody that doesn't discover it. There's something within us that gets set off. Now, you were heavy, you were ridiculed, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
You went, you know, you searched, and that it came in two ways. whatever that was, that definitely set you off. You went to a gym, you knew. And secondly, in my opinion, I don't know you well enough, but I'll say this as I'm thinking of myself in that situation. Stan there, who helped you out, don't think that your grandfather didn't send him to you. He did.
Yeah, I agree. Completely agree.
Yeah, he was sent to you. I guarantee it. So those two things right there are not only things that people need to hear, and I mean repeated over and over again, because everybody's got that switch in them. Hopefully everyone's going to get a chance to find what they really want to do. And as I've said before, other than being very fortunate to have a good family and everything, weightlifting, and I'm just going to put it all together. Best thing I ever did in my entire life.
Yeah.
Best thing.
I think we all have a point where we say enough is enough.
Yeah.
Where we hit our own limit. And I've had this conversation many times with people that I've trained. You know, you'll meet some people who will come to you for help, and you know, they think they're ready for your help, and they'll start off great, and then they fall to the wayside. That's because they're not ready yet. They've not hit their limit.
Exactly.
I always say to people, I was very fortunate to hit my limit at age 16.
Yep.
Because some people never hit their limit.
Yep.
And you see this in today's society when you see people that are in their, you know, late 20s, early 30s, 40s, you know, developing crazy medical conditions,
which
are completely and utterly avoidable.
Yep.
But they're people that have allowed this to happen to them, and they've just never hit their limit and never taken control. So I've been incredibly thankful for the fact that I hit my limit when I did.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, looking back on all the things that happened to me when I was a kid, you know, as odd as it sounds, I wouldn't change it now, because it led to me being the person that I am.
Yeah.
And the thing that was made very clear to me, it was when I was in my mid-20s, and I was working in a gym in Aberdeen. And I remember I was getting ready for a contest. And I was a gym instructor in this gym, right? I didn't work for myself. I was employed by the gym at the time. And this is a long time ago. And this girl came in to get a program made up, and it was one of the girls who used to bully me at school.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. And she came, and the look on her face, because, of course, there's Kirsten.
Yeah.
Now in great shape.
Yeah.
And here's her walking in.
Yeah.
Not in great shape.
Yeah.
And now needing me.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm glad that I had this, you know, evolution in my mind at such a young age, because a lot of people don't get there until they're much later, if ever.
If they ever, right. And you know something? You can look at it in another way too, which this is how I equate it from listening to you, is they brought out your greatness. And most people never, ever get to that point, all right? And Kirsten, this is why, you know, I am very happy you're on here, number one, but the message, like you and like with Martin yesterday and everybody else, it's this message of no matter what has happened to you, no matter what you face day to day, if you get into this stuff we do, and you devote your life to physical culture, not going and lifting weights, kettlebells, or anything. Physical culture. You live it outside the gym. You live it the way you eat, the way you sleep, the way you lead, all those things. I am telling you, and I'll never stop saying this, we'll be here 30 more years at least. I'll tell you this. We are going to create, and I know we already have, because I get the texts from people. I get the emails from people. I get the calls from people that I haven't lifted in 10 or 15 years. The show brought me back. I went and started a business because of your show. It's all, and I don't say anything. I just quietly go through it. But there's things that have been said to me that would just blow your mind. And I don't know if people would even believe some of the things that have been said to me. But I'm telling you right now, there are a lot of people out there that are hurting. And I mean hurting bad, man. Mm-hmm. And they don't know where to go. And if you're someone that likes to listen to media, you're going to be in a tizzy so bad now, you're not going to know what end is up. When we do this kind of stuff, we build. It's almost Not only do you have the majority of people I've met in this industry are dynamite people. It's like everything. You're always going to have a few bad apples in anything you do. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I've never met so many decent, caring people in my life. And the majority of people say, well, look at, you know, here's what they'll say. Oh, they're not too smart, or they're bullies, or they, you know, or they don't walk, you know, they walk basically like, you know, I'm not going to say the word on there, but it's all these perceptions, all right? Yeah. But then when you sit down with the majority of these people, they're not only very intelligent, they can speak about like you and I are talking about. I go places. Yeah. You know what? You know how most people break the ice with me if they don't know me, if it's someone that really wants me, they'll walk up to you and say, do you lift weights? Now, it's pretty it's pretty obvious I do, but you know what? I never give anybody a smart-ass answer unless they're trying to be a wise guy about it.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you right now, that little bit of time you spend with somebody could change their life forever. And you might not know it, but that 10, 15 minutes of just talking about things like that, that person might have been searching for that for the last 15 years of their life, man.
And I completely agree.
Yeah, it is so important. Next question is, and in some ways you answered it, and this is very topical, especially in today's world where, and we've had a lot of the people on here, and they write fantastic books about the whole mental image, the mental design, how can you change, how can you, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Especially with the weight, the heaviness, and being in a position now where you knew enough, and see, that's just like Jimmy and the Hulk. That trigger went off in you, man, and you searched and found, and you were very fortunate for that. What do you feel, if you can equate it to 2017 today, what do you feel mentally happened to you, number one, and in today's environment, what you're doing and your success and everything, how would you convey it to whether it's someone you're training or obviously if you're in some type of competition or obviously you can convey it very well when we see you on Facebook. So take us through a little bit of mental voyage from that point when you knew you had to change. Stan came into your life, obviously. You know, little Tank came into the picture there and all that. But what did you see in that mental voyage through this whole span of time?
I think it even at age 16, for me, I woke up. It's the best way that I can describe it. I woke up to the realization that my physical well-being, that my life, that my mental well-being was my responsibility, that I couldn't blame other people anymore. And the way that I was raised, it's kind of funny when I look back and I mean I'm fortunate I've had a really, really blessed upbringing, but I was brought up in a household where I was essentially wrapped in cotton wool much of the time, and that if you didn't really want to do something, oh you don't have to do it, just step back, you don't have to do it. So I led a very kind of sheltered existence.
Yeah.
And so a lot of things that were my problem, as in the shit that I was putting in my mouth, the activity that I wasn't doing, you know, I was switched off to that because I was always being told, no, you're fine, you're fine.
Yep.
And then I realized one day, well, no, I'm not. Mm-hmm. You know, because then I got to the age, you know, 16, you know, here we go, you're ready to leave school now, Kirsten, you're essentially an adult, you're going to go to college.
Yep.
You better care of yourself, because if you don't, everything's going south, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was just a case of, right, I have woken up, I can't be like this anymore, I'm tired of being like this anymore. Mm-hmm. And it was time to just start living. Mm-hmm. And you know, because it's when you've been in a position where you're the victim. I was in that victim situation where I was bullied for a long time, and when I look back on it now, yes, I allowed myself to be in that position.
There you go. Yep.
But then I woke up and realized that I didn't need to be in that position anymore. It was leaving school was very symbolic for me. I skipped out that front door and I stuck my two fingers up in that door and I left because I was like, screw you, I am out of here. And it was, I mean, that's all God's honest truth. I mean, I bet some of my teachers saw it.
Yep.
And it's like, I skipped out that door because I knew it, for me, that was symbolic as well. Yep. I was leaving that place that represented darkness for me.
Yep.
And I was going on to something new. Yep. So it was, yeah, it was a case of the realization, this is now my life and I'd better sort my shit out, basically.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the attitude I've kept all the way through. It's gotten stronger
yeah.
as I've gotten
yep.
older. I mean, when I was much younger, I had to really work at it. And it's the whole thing. You know the saying, fake it till you make it?
Sure.
It was like that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would go into bodybuilding shows and know I wasn't going to win, but still have to put a really, you know, happy demeanor on it, you know, and look for the sunshine in what could have, you know, some people could have seen as been a bad day, because you've turned up, you see the competition and you know you're not going to win.
Right,
you
right.
know, but still trying to take some good out of it.
Yeah,
so
but you know something, remember this too, and I always say it on every show, whenever we get into stuff like this, is this. All those small steps equal big goals in the end.
Yes, they do.
Yeah,
they do indeed.
Yeah, and yeah. You're a prime example of it.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't give up.
No.
I didn't quit. I just kept on going. Kept on going until I eventually won.
But you know you something, know? Too? You know something, too? And I'm not saying anybody cannot get better, because we all know they can. But I could tell by your personality, though. See, I can see this in people because I can see it in myself in a lot of ways. A lot of what you've done, a lot of what I've done, things of that nature, your personality, I can tell by talking to you, is made to endure. By that I mean we can take you right from the beginning of the days with being overweight, being ridiculed, basically flipping them off, saying, now I got the freedom. Now I'm going to go make my way. It's the same way here with Jimmy the Hulk, training partners that one was family, the other one just could have been, went up in smoke, and I started out all by myself in a little garage, had no cheering, had nobody loading my weights. But you know what it was? My personality was built for that. And a lot of people will say, what are you talking about? And I'm saying, I can't put my finger on it. It's my DNA. It's the way that I was constructed
yeah.
where I didn't
yeah.
have... Hey, look, think about this, all right? When Martin and I were talking about, you know, I told you offline. I mean, Martin and I, we get together before the end of the year. We're going to meet in Iceland because he's never lifted the Húsafell. And then we'll go yeah. to Scotland, and then we're going to go to Wales. And we were talking about this yesterday, and I said, even when I lifted the stuff and there was people there, I didn't hear a damn word they were saying. It was all muffled, and everybody looked like a streak when you went by them, if you even
yeah.
looked. And see,
yeah.
this kind of stuff that we do, especially when you're coming out of some type of adversity, you understand that with or without you, I'm going to do this. And,
yeah.
and this is why I love doing this show and having people on like you that – have that style of thought, that internal fire, that internal belief, that internal will. Even like you said, fake it till you make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know something? Most people couldn't do that, all right? And
yeah.
and the thing is, as you begin to get better, soon you're not going to be faking it. You're going to be the real article right there. But whatever whatever it takes to get there, get there. I mean, as long as you're not hurting anybody or committing any kind of crimes, do whatever
yeah.
you got, man. But, you know, that's what it is. Next question, because it will go right into this. Kettlebell Queen, I know that's your forte. Tell everybody a little bit about, all right, bodybuilding. You got to the point where you decided something else. How did you springboard from bodybuilding right into kettlebells?
Well, it was when my daughter was born, and my
okay.
daughter is 8 now.
Okay.
And, well, she's nearly 9, actually. She'll be 9 in just a few months.
Okay.
And when she was born, I made the decision that I would no longer compete in bodybuilding.
Okay.
A lot of people do compete, and are parents, and they do a great job of doing it. But that wasn't my style. My mindset was very, very tunnel visioned when I competed. And it was kind of like the old Arnold Schwarzenegger thing where he always said, you know, a bomb could be going off outside and
right.
he'd keep training.
Right.
I was like that. You know, nothing could deter me from what I was doing, whether it was my workout,
mm-hmm.
prepping my meals, my supplementation, whatever it was. I mean, I had a very regimented way of working and it worked. You know, it was successful. And I knew that I couldn't put that level of intensity in and be a parent at the same time. So I needed to find something that I could channel my energy into and still be a functioning parent. So that was when I thought, well, I'll maybe look at changing my training up a little bit. But I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And this is the honest truth. I went into the gym one day and, you know, I was feeling a bit lost. I was going to train my back. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I was going to do back and hamstrings. I was a bodybuilder still. I was a bodybuilder without a cause. And I'm like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And I saw two kettlebells in the corner of the gym. And I didn't know what they were. And clearly nobody else in the gym knew what they were because they were covered in dust. Mm-hmm. They'd clearly been sitting there for years. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, what's this? So I took a couple of pictures of them and then Googled it, as you do. You know, we Google everything these days. And found out that they were kettlebells. Okay. And then I found on bodybuilding.com a couple of, you know, short routines that someone had posted with kettlebells. And I tried it. And I thought, okay, that's kind of cool. So then I went to Facebook. And I found a group, a UK kettlebell training group, and I posted on there, you know, does anyone know, are there workshops in Scotland where I can learn how to use these things? And someone got back to me, and it was the guy who at the time ran Kettlebell Scotland. And he said, oh, Kirsten, I'm in Edinburgh. We've got workshops coming up. Come along. Mm-hmm. You're more than welcome. So I did. Went down, did his workshops. Thoroughly enjoyed them. And he said, you know something, you're quite good at this. Have you thought about certifying? And I was like, well, no. And he said, oh, we've got Steve Cotter.
Uh-huh. Yep. Right?
And, you know, I mean, this was new to me. I didn't know who any of these guys were. So he's like dropping this name to me and I'm like, who? And he said, yeah. Look into this guy. He says, Steve Cotter's coming over, CKT level one with the IKFF.
Yep.
So look into it. So I looked into it and I said, yeah, that looks rather cool. So that was like 3 months away. So I trained away, prepping for a CKT1, and I got myself a couple of competition bells to use for practice and did CKT level one. And Steve Cotter said to me when he met me, he said, you know, you're pretty good at this, Kirsten. You know, have you thought about taking this to advanced bodybuilders? And I said, you know, I've never thought on that. And he said, you know, you should maybe think about it. So anyway, certified under Steve, and then 6 months later, also in Edinburgh, I did CKT level two, again under Steve Cotter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And at that point, I was one of the first women in the UK to be certified by him at that level. So that was a really big deal for me. And that was a tough weekend. CKT level two was pretty much all Giravoy sport-based, which is kettlebell sport-based. And
yep.
Coming from a bodybuilding background, that's like chalk and cheese. That was tough for me. And I came through it. You know, I mean, that was hard, but I did it. And I passed it really, really well. And it was a lot of fun. And then after that, I ended up moving to New Zealand. And we went there for a while. And I had my own gym over there. And it was... it was a strength and conditioning facility, but for a period of time, we went CrossFit. And
okay.
I'll be honest,
yep.
I don't do CrossFit.
Yeah.
I hate CrossFit
yep.
with a purple passion.
Okay? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I did that purely for business because it was like, damn.
It was hot, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not getting anyone to sign up. If I put CrossFit above the door, maybe I'll be able to stay in business. So anyway, turned CrossFit. Did their certification, which was, in all honesty, probably the worst weekend of my life.
Yep.
And, you know, but I did it. And then I contacted Steve Maxwell.
Yep.
Because I've followed him for years and I've admired him for a long time. And I said, Steve, I've got this gym in New Zealand. Would you like to come and teach here? And he said, hell yes, Kirsten.
Nice.
What do you want me to teach? I was like, oh, how cool. So the next thing I know, we've got Steve Maxwell coming. And I hosted him for his very first New Zealand visit.
Yep.
And he taught his certification called the Fundamentals of Human Movement. So we were my gym was the first facility to host that in the whole Australasia area. And I was really proud of that. But it allowed me to forge a really good friendship with Steve Maxwell. He's an absolutely lovely, lovely man.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so generous with his time and so willing to help. And I forged a really good friendship with him. So anyway, I ended up hosting him 3 times there. We did the certification, then we did a few workshops that were kettlebells and bodyweight work. And then I ended up coming back to the UK and, you know, had another child. And once my son was about 5 months old, I decided, you know, what am I going to do now? I need to, you know, I need to kind of channel my energy. I need to get back teaching again. And that was when I started teaching strength and conditioning classes where I now am based in the Shetland Islands. But throughout that time, I've kept my skills really fresh. Like I say, I train with Steve Maxwell practically yearly. I see him a lot. And I've also trained under Mike Mahler.
Okay.
So the people who've taught me the things that I teach others are pretty much Cotter, Maxwell and Mahler. And so I'm kind of a fusion of all of their teachings together with my own stuff thrown in. So I don't really identify with any one style. I've created Kirsten's style of doing things, but I'm an amalgamation of all the really good people that I've worked with. And it's working for me. You know, I get great results with the people that I train and that I teach. And like I say, I've maintained strong bonds with the people that I admire. So it's been an interesting journey up to this point.
That's fabulous, because we got Steve's on here every month with us. He's an awesome guy. I've never met Mike, and you know, I know of Steve Maxwell. You know, the reputation is flawless out there. And you know, they know what they're doing, and they can still teach. And, you know, a lot of people have good skills, but they're not good teachers. And a lot of them, you know, I hate to say, I've met a lot of people in what I do. They don't want to really tell you, okay, well, what are you doing? What do you feel is maybe the best thing to, you know, what are the main movements you would do to lift a stone, be better? You know, like, I love it. Like, Martin will tell you flat out, straight up, tire flipping. Stevie Shanks, one-arm dumbbell rows. Or, I'm sorry, one-arm deadlifts. It was funny as hell because we were talking. How do we get talking about this? I don't know. Or I was asking all these guys, because when we had Charlie and James Graham and all these guys coming on, it was just very interesting to get their feedback, because everybody had a different feedback on what they used to lift the stone. You know, how they felt this, did this, did that, you know. So it was just so awesome. And that's what I like about all this stuff, you know. You drew from the well all over, but yet you knew how to put your own stamp on it and teach it.
Oh yeah, it's like my style of teaching kettlebells. It's really quite interesting, because we have Mike Mahler, who I've been influenced by, and he is without a doubt hard style kettlebells.
Yep.
It's like they're as hard style as they come, and that is his style.
Yep.
And then you've got Steve Maxwell, who wrote the original RKC standard. You know, he was one of the first people he founded the RKC with Pavel Satsalak.
Yep.
You know, so he wrote the original, you know, foundation of it, and he was hard style, but he's kind of softened over the years as he's kind of found out about other stuff.
Sure.
And then you have Steve Cotter coming in, and I learned GS from him, so Gear of Voice Sport Method. So I've done soft style or GS style all the way through a hard style. And my own style sits right in the middle.
Nice.
Because I can see the value in both.
Yeah.
But I don't try and preach either.
Yeah.
I take the bits, the elements of both that I really like.
Yep.
And I combine them to work for me and most of the people that I train.
Yeah.
So, I don't really feel the need to define myself as being one style or the next. I really like the fact that I draw inspiration from different sources, but I take it and apply it in a cohesive manner. You know how you'll meet some people that they've worked with so many people, they don't know whether they're Arthur or Martha.
Sure.
You know,
they
don't know what direction they're going in.
Yep.
Whereas me, I know my direction, and I know the way that I teach. And I know that it's a fusion, a blend of different people that I've worked with, but I've now put my own spin on it.
Right.
So I take pride in that I'm not trying to be someone else.
Yeah.
I'm just being me.
Yeah.
You know,
but it's
and
working.
That's very important
yeah.
to me
yeah.
to put my own mark on it. You know, it's not good enough for me to just be a copy of someone else. I have to give something that I know is inherently me and that people can't get from anywhere else.
Now, let me ask you this. I mean, obviously with the kettlebells, and we're going to move right into maces. Is kettlebells your primary for everything? Do you do anything with barbells? Do you do anything with
yes,
stones?
I do.
Okay. So,
yes.
So if we're talking barbells, because no matter what I do, I always stick with the base. I'm always going back
yeah.
to it. All right. What is your,
yeah.
what, tell me what you do with barbells and then we'll get right into the mace work too.
I still squat and deadlift
okay.
on a near weekly basis.
Okay.
So I'm in the gym twice a week. We have a really small community gym up here that we run just for the immediate community.
Sure.
And it's small and it's basic, but you know, we've got a lifting platform and we've got benches and we've got everything in there that we need. So there's somewhere that I can deadlift and there's somewhere that I can squat. So I front squat.
Okay.
I've front squatted for years, but I genie style front squat.
Yep.
I don't front squat as an Olympic lifter style.
Right, right.
My wrist mobility is not good enough for that.
Yep.
And also, I don't like that unless you're an Olympic weightlifter.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never seen the point in stressing your wrists like that
nope.
unless you're going to do Olympic lifts. So I stick with genie style.
Me
you know,
too.
With my
Me too.
Arms crossed.
Yep,
yeah.
yep, yep.
I'm very strong on the front squat. That's my calling card, really, and I go ass to grass. It's right down or don't bother.
Then you'd be a killer stone lifter. I know that for sure.
If I had access to stones, I would. I have Atlas balls that I use in my classes, and my Atlas balls go up to 50 kilos,
yep,
which
yep.
would be
110, yep.
100 and something
yep.
pounds. Yeah. I would love to try.
Oh, I bet you'd
stones,
be good, man.
To be honest, I
yeah.
really like to try.
Yeah.
And that is something I will no doubt do at
yeah.
some point when
yep.
the opportunity presents itself.
Yep.
But I mean, I also deadlift, and I've tried both styles, whether it be conventional and sumo. I'm a far better conventional deadlifter.
Yeah. Yep.
Than I am a sumo deadlifter.
Yep.
I love deadlifting.
Yeah.
And I've devised kind of a way of using kettlebells that increases deadlift power.
Nice.
So that's something that over the years I've come to realize just through trial and error. So different ways of doing, you know, different styles of swings,
yeah.
especially
yep.
the suitcase swings,
yep.
so double swings outside the feet.
Yep.
That is an amazing carryover to the deadlift. You know, I also, you know, Romanian style deadlift.
Oh yeah.
Kettlebells.
Oh yeah.
Superb carryover if you want to develop better hip snap.
Yep.
And again, if you're into your stones, you need strong hip drive.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
again, your deadlift is very, very important if you're one of these guys as well.
Yep.
So that's pretty much the only barbell work that I really do now. Everything else is kettlebells and mace.
Yeah. Yeah. And that man so, and yeah, but you, let's face it. Squat and deadlift, I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. I mean, everybody
yeah.
getting bigger and stronger, but you can do those two lifts and get gargantuan. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's like whatever
absolutely.
You want.
Yeah.
But that's real interesting. I figured you still did some weights.
Yeah.
Now let's get into maces, because this is obviously how I discovered you. And I know
yeah.
I know you got connections with Donnie G. Fardino and a lot of the other people.
Yep.
What motivated you now? Was it watching somebody, or what got you now into the mace work?
Yeah, it was actually. I was on Instagram one day, and I saw a friend of mine.
Yep.
She was just a girl that I followed at the time, but her name is Kelly Manzone.
Yeah, I know.
And
yep.
she,
yep.
yeah, now, yeah, so you know that she
yep.
competes in,
yep.
in mace competition now. And I watched her just in this like 30-second clip using her ADEX mace, and I thought, damn, her shoulders must feel great
yeah.
after doing that. And that was the thing that really drew me. I just looked at it and I thought, oh, I need that in my life. I really do. Because my shoulders, with so many years of bodybuilding and forwards and backwards motion,
yeah.
just super, super tight.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter how many windmills I did with the kettlebells. It doesn't matter how many get-ups I do, whether it be singles or doubles. My shoulders were still really rigid and tight, and
yep.
I didn't like it.
Yep.
And to me, that was a feeling of getting older.
Yeah.
You know when you realize that you're stiffer than you've been
oh,
when you
yeah.
were younger, and that thought comes over your head, it's like, damn, is this aging? and then I realized, well, no, it just means you need to find something else to do, Kirsten.
Yes,
but
you
I
do.
Didn't know what.
Yep.
And so I flicked open my phone, and there on Instagram was Kelly Manzone swinging a mace, and I thought, that's it. So I commented on her thing. I said, that looks so great. And she said something along the lines of, it really is, girl. You need to get yourself a mace. So anyway, I went to the gym that same day, and we have a couple of sledgehammers in the gym. So I tried to copy her using a sledgehammer, you know, just a 3.5 kilo sledgehammer.
Yeah.
And it felt good. You know, it probably looked pretty crappy, but I filmed it and I posted it to Instagram. And I said, you know, to all the purists out there, I know it's not a mace, it's a sledgehammer.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Calm down.
Yep, yeah, absolutely.
I'm just practicing, I'm trying to loosen off my shoulder.
Yep.
Well, Kelly commented on it. She says, oh, that's so cool, blah, blah, blah. And then Mr. Mace Man, Rick Brown,
yep,
commented on it. And he said, you know, this is incredible. You need a mace. And I'm like, who is this guy? So, So I clicked on his profile and I found him on Facebook and stuff, and found we were already connected on Facebook. You know, because you know how on Facebook you're connected with loads and loads of people.
Oh, yeah.
And then you'll find out after, oh, I'm actually friends with that person. So, struck up a conversation with him. He sent me some information on a certification that he had planned for London, and said, oh, Kirsten, you might want to look at that. You know, I'm going to be in London. Think about it. So I had a look at it, and I said, look, thank you very much. He says, but I don't even own a mace.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said, no, I really think you should think about it. Just think on it. So I went and I ordered myself a mace, and it was just a cheap one that I found up here, just a 5 kilo mace, and
sure,
it arrived really, really fast. And I started using it, and I said, yeah, I'm going to do that guy, sir. I like this.
Yeah.
So I messaged him and I said, well, you know, I'm in. Where do I book? And he directed me to the people that were hosting him in London.
Yeah.
And I booked. And then the next thing I know, I've kind of given in to temptation and I've ordered an Adex mace.
Nice.
From Donny Giaffardino.
Yep, there you go.
And then it arrived really fast and I started using it too, and I just thought, oh, this is great. And my shoulders just felt so, so good.
Yep.
And it was just what I'd been needing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as I started communicating with the other people who are in the mace community, and just realized that there's such, it's kind of like the kettlebell community.
Yeah.
When you first join that, you just meet a really amazing bunch of helpful, like-minded people.
Yep.
Who are always willing to help you and answer any question that you have. And I just felt like I'd connected.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically where that's all started.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, I've got I'm in London this June. So I think about 8 weeks from today,
okay,
I will actually be in London doing this. And it's been a great ride so far.
Yep.
I feel like every day I'm progressing a little bit more. I'm managing to iron things out and get a little bit smoother. I just really enjoy it. I kind of get the same buzz out of it like I did when I first picked up a kettlebell.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when you know you've hit something that is right for you, when you feel excited to do your workout. You know, you feel excited to train.
Yeah.
And, it's a lot of fun. But like I say, I think part of the fun of it as well is the people who are involved.
You've met,
right now.
Yeah, yeah.
They're very, very passionate about this.
Yep, yep.
You know, from Donnie, who makes the maces.
Yep.
Right through to
Rick
who is,
yep,
you know, spearheading,
yep,
you know, the teaching.
Yep.
To all of these different people who are involved in trying to get mace competition off the ground.
Yeah.
It's very difficult not to be inspired,
yep,
when you're part of that community now. So yeah, it's. And also I'm seeing how both the mace and the kettlebell are so intrinsically linked with regards to strength and conditioning.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I find that really, really exciting, because in kettlebells, there are some people who use kettlebells for like rotational movements.
Yep.
Now, I'll be honest, I'm not one of them.
Okay.
You'll find the people that do rotational movements with kettlebells are generally the people who have got maybe a martial arts background.
Okay.
Or do, you know, jiu-jitsu or wrestling,
yep,
that kind of thing.
Yep.
Whereas that wasn't my background. My background is very much strength development and power.
Mm-hmm.
So I use kettlebells to that end. So then you bring in the mace and you've got this rotational element, and it's almost like you've just created the perfect partnership.
Yep.
You've got your strength and power element from the kettlebells, and then here's this rotational element from the mace, and all of a sudden you've got a body that is not just strong, but strong from every angle.
Exactly.
And I, as a coach, I find that incredibly exciting because it's like the missing link.
Yep.
It's like that thing that you knew you needed to be doing, but you weren't doing.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden it's there.
Yep.
And it's like light bulb moment. for me as a coach, that was absolutely huge. I could just see how all these different parts of the puzzle just came together.
Yeah.
So for me right now, I mean, I'm 38 years old now, and I can honestly tell you that I move better, feel better, and are without doubt better shape than I have ever been.
Wow.
In the rest of my years. I mean, don't get me wrong, when I was a bodybuilder, I looked better.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, but looking great and functioning great are two completely different things.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now I have this movement that I don't feel inhibited in anything.
Wow.
And a lot of that is coming from mace training, without a doubt. And like I say, other things in my kettlebell work
are
now improving.
Sure.
Because now I've got better mobility through my shoulders. I've got better range of motion. So they all bounce off of each other. I just find it incredibly exciting.
Yeah.
The whole rotational strength element, it's something that so many people
don't have, right.
But but once you start doing it and you feel the benefits, it's like, man, why the hell wasn't I doing this 10 years ago?
Yeah, but you know what? That's the funny thing. I say that to myself all the time, too. But if that happened, maybe you wouldn't have dabbled into the kettlebell the way now you're full blown. Yeah, but think about this, though, Kirsten, too. You know, now you really are starting to develop with the mace. I mean, think of this whole repertoire you got. I mean, you got a squat, front squat. You got a deadlift. You got a kettlebell that you can do whatever you want with. And now you've got in the maces. I mean, most people couldn't put that style together like that, number one. And most people aren't going to be that direct with things. They're not going to go out and keep searching things out. You know, the success of anybody I've ever met, as when I used to be in IT world before I went into my business, the one lady I worked at, because we worked on all the big IBM mainframe systems, she used to call me the digger because she said, you're one of the few people I've ever met that would go out and find the information, and you would only come to me when you would exhaust everything. She said, you'd go, and that's where I was, manuals, online, whatever it was. She said, you would dig, and most of the time I found it. It's the same way with how I handle my business and how I see what you have talked about here today, is you're not afraid to go out and get your hands dirty, all right? And if you're not going to be afraid to do that, you're going to succeed, man. But the problem is, we talked about this early on in the show. The majority of people, they might talk a good game. Few are going to take that first step. But if we can lead them by the hand, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way either, but if we can lead them by the hand and we can get them moving, it's that much better for all of us, man.
I completely agree. It's a whole case of you have to lead by example.
Yeah.
You know, you have to set a standard by which you want things to be done. And then people can see, you know, where they're aiming for.
Yeah.
I think in the industry that we're in, there are so many people who come into this business. Well, they view it as a business, which in all honesty, I've never viewed this as a business. I've always viewed it as it's my passion.
Exactly.
And I just happen to get paid for my passion.
There
and
you
that's
go.
Rather cool.
It is. Yep.
A lot of people come into this purely as a job. Oh, I want to be a personal trainer.
Yeah.
I want to be an online coach.
Yep.
They're just looking for a job.
Yep.
They're just looking for money.
Yep.
It's not like they are completely passionate about changing people's lives and about making things better and making a difference.
Right.
So those are the people that come in and then they leave really, really fast. I mean, I've been in this game now for 23 years, nearly 24 years.
Yep.
And I'm sure you've been in it for a very long time.
30 years.
We've seen, so we've seen a lot of people come and go.
Yep.
And yet myself and yourself and others like Steve Maxwell, Steve Carter, Rick Brown,
we're
all still here.
Yeah.
And it's because we do it because we love it.
Yep.
We're passionate about it, and we're the ones that are going to light the way for others.
I'm with you.
We're here for pure reasons.
Yep. And, you know, and that's what I say to everybody. Everybody's very good at things, and same way with here. But I'll tell you this, you know, people write things and all that. That's great. But I'll tell you right now, Motivation Muscle here is a platform where we can get our stuff out quicker than anybody. All right.
Yeah.
You know, when your show goes up within the next 4 days, 5 days max, that's going to be a whole, you know, anybody that's never met up with you before, now they're going to be introduced to Kirsten. All right. They're going to get to see your evolution to where you are today. And see, one thing I like about this stuff, especially, I mean, everybody's got a story, but you've got a story here that there's an awful lot of people in the world can identify with. Heavy, made fun of, didn't know where to go. Mm-hmm. Some survived it, some didn't, and, you know, unfortunately, mm-hmm. some didn't. And the thing that I feel that has drawn so much people to this show is not only the authenticity of myself and everybody on here, but even when we say things about this, that, and the other thing, we've never walked away from here without offering people a solution or solutions. Now, the reason why I did this, because I wanted to, obviously, but the thing was, I got so sick of hearing, whether it was radio or TV or whatever, it was always a beat down, it seemed like, and you walked away from it and you're like, holy shit, man, I feel worse now than I did before I listened to you. And I said mm-hmm. that I would never do that, and I said, if I ever do that with the show, I'm done doing the show. You know what I'm saying? And we're offering not only a product that is giving you not only inspiration, ways to train, if you haven't gone in to say a stone or a kettlebell or a mace or whatever. Well, you know what? This might get your juices flowing again. And as I say at the end of the show, you know, when we say goodbye to everybody, I always say, you know, five words can change your life, and you think I'm kidding, try it sometime. More people have been saved or been inspired by five words than anything out there. And I'm telling you, I tell everybody, I'll have people come over here who want to train, or people I'm even friendly with, and they'll say to me, I don't have anything to offer. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't have anything to offer? I don't know, you know, I don't know it like you do. I said, no one's asking you to do that. But you might just say something to somebody that triggers something great in them, and even mm-hmm. though you don't realize they did, you did something. So I always tell people, never discount what you know or what you think, because everyone's got something good to offer. You know what I want to ask you before we sign off for today? Let's just look. I know you're going to be doing a seminar midsummer, is it? What do you got? What do you see for yourself? Let's just talk this year. You know, you're into the maces and you're getting into, you know, you're uniting all these different pieces of iron together and making and putting your stamp on it. What do you see for the rest of 17 for yourself, you think?
The rest of 2017, well, obviously in June, I'm going down to do my certification under Rick Brown, who's Mr. Maceman.
Yep.
So that's a really big deal for me. So I'll be, you know, getting that one in the books in June. After June, it will be a case of, you know, just keeping my attention focused on my strength and conditioning classes up here in the Shetland Islands. But beyond that, it's my training. I'm going to be, you know, my aim is to compete in mace competition next year.
Nice.
So 2017 is basically priming me for 2018.
Nice.
So it's all about aiming for that. I think, you know, once I started swinging the mace and realizing that I'm kind of good at this.
They're good, you know? Yeah.
And I thought, wow, I'm not done competing. And that was a real kind of eye-opener for me, because when I walked away from bodybuilding, I walked away from the stage and I walked away from what I believed was the podium.
Yep.
And, you know, I just thought my competitive days were done, and that my calling now was just to be a teacher and a coach and a mentor. So when I picked up the mace and realized that I'm actually not bad at it, I thought, damn, I'm not finished yet. And then I realized, wow,
yeah.
I've got more to give. So I find that incredibly exciting.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, the like I say, the Mace community, they're very, very keen to get the whole competitive, you know, side of this off the ground and generate as much interest as they can about it. And the more people who partake in this and do it, the stronger the force will be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm determined to be one of those people that does that in 2018. So I was very, very inspired when I saw Kelly Manzone
yep.
swinging her mace at the Arnold.
Yep.
And I watched her and I thought, I want to be there. I watched her and I thought, I want to go to the Arnold.
Yeah.
And then I had to kind of laugh at myself because I thought, how funny is this? I'm not a bodybuilder anymore.
Yep.
But I might go to the Arnold and it wouldn't be as a bodybuilder.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought that was really quite
yeah,
funny.
Yeah.
Every bodybuilder wants to go to the Arnold.
Sure.
And I thought, this is so damn ironic.
Yeah, it's like,
I might go to the Arnold.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not doing it as a bodybuilder.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? It's like the two ends of the scale, A and Z. You're on Z. You know what I mean? It's like,
that's exactly.
Yeah,
it.
That, I think that's
exactly
awesome,
it.
Though.
So that's really where my training is heading at the moment.
That's
I mean,
great.
So it's, yeah, that is where I'm at. So
I have no doubt.
All of that, I continue to teach, so.
That's great, and I have no doubt you'll succeed because you can just hear not only the passion, but I can hear, I know people that got drive in them, and you've got the drive.
Mm.
And, you know, that's going to, you know, even if you're not as good as everybody else out there, that alone, passion and drive, can beat anybody. So I never, you know something? I never underestimate anybody because I've seen too many so-so, quote-unquote, greats get their heads handed to them by a no-name. And that's
absolutely.
That is the coolest thing in the world, I think.
Absolutely. People that just come out when they least expect it.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
It's like the worst sucker punch you could ever get.
It really is. It's an incredibly humbling experience
yes,
for a lot
yes,
of people when that happens, and
yep.
for many people it's a hard lesson that they need to learn.
Well,
but yeah, it does happen.
And you know something? There's always somebody out there somewhere, and you know the funny thing is there's so many of these people that are good are out in the middle of nowhere and they could care less, man. And they could come,
exactly.
they could come somewhere and toast the whole damn gang. So that's the
yeah.
way it is. Kirsten, why don't you give out, if you want to summarize anything, give out any information you want. Let me give mine out, and if you'd hang on the line, please, and we'll wind today up.
No worries. Well, what else to tell you about me? Just if anyone wants to find me,
yep.
look for me on Facebook. You know, like I said, I am very active on Facebook, and I always respond. Even if I don't get back to people immediately, I always get around to doing it eventually. I am active on Instagram as well. If you need me on Instagram, my Instagram name is Little Tank. That is also a hashtag that I go by.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, if you look for the hashtag Little Tank, you will find a lot of pictures that are me. But Facebook is the main medium.
Okay.
So
okay.
just look for my name, Kirsten Tulloch. That's T-U-L-L-O-C-H. And also my other Facebook page is Little Tank Training. And I have an awful lot of cool content video-wise on both of my Facebook pages. So if anyone is interested to see exactly what I do and how I move, they'll see all the video evidence there.
That's awesome.
I post everything. Yeah.
hey, and that's cool. And, you know, everybody, too. I mean, Kirsten's been nice enough to put stuff out on Etched in Stone, so you can catch her there, too. And obviously, you can make contact if you haven't heard of her before through that page. And I'll tell you what, that page is on fire, literally. And
yeah.
I'm so happy about that because we're getting more and more people. It doesn't matter what they're doing, you know. Zach Blaine is in on us now, and you know he's a big club guy, and he's going to come on the
yeah.
show too. So, like we said in the beginning, it's great for meeting people, and hopefully, people of a lifetime you'll still have friendships with. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to Fiorella Barbell. co.com. As I said, you will see the actual pages up that are going to be in production early next week. Be on the lookout for that. Go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. go out and look at all the shows we've got. We've only been up a little over 2 years. We've got close to 700 podcasts. We'd have that probably right now if I was doing 9 to 15 a week like I've been, but business calls, and we'll probably get back to doing, we're still doing at least 7 to 8 a week. One week, though, I did, a few weeks ago, I did 12. For whatever reason, I did it. And, you know, we are on fire. The brand is out there, and it's just going to get bigger and bigger. And, you know, when we have folks on like Kirsten, you know, Kirsten now is a family member to me now, and we welcome her here like everybody else. It's you can see the network of great people we got here. And I'm very proud of that. It's been a ton of hard work, but, you know, Kirsten understands hard work. So, you know, I'm sure she can identify just with what's going on here. It's a hell of a great thing. But as I said, without you and without our family, I couldn't do this. So believe me, I am very grateful every day for what I've got. Also, too. If there's a show you'd like us to do, Kirsten and I, go out to Fiorello Barbell at nicap.rr.com. Don't forget, too, we're on iTunes and Stitcher. Leave us a 5-star review. If you have the capability, and all new cars do, and they do make aftermarket stereos, go out to AHA Directory and pull up and register Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. It's pronounced AHA. It's AHA, so you can get us on every day of the week. Also, too, I'll leave you with a multitude of things here. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them 5 words of inspiration. It will change your life, I guarantee it. Also, too, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, squat it, pull it, push it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as a great Hoos of Steel stone crusher says in Blood Red, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. As Russell Fur says, who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning and who's been on the show, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. We're very proud of that. We will say that to the day we sign off, my friend. Also, too, Frank Klein. He was my greatest college professor in business. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, who was my chiropractor for years, he would walk every patient to the door. Keep smiling is what he'd say. I dare you to say those two words on your worst day or best day. I walk around sometimes just mumbling it, man. John, my father, obviously Frank Klein, my brother Jimmy, they're in my thoughts constantly every day. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming, because we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to put our foot right through it. I'm telling you right now, join our family, join the revolution. This is going to be, if not the biggest thing you've ever seen in this industry. We're just pushing, pushing, pushing. I'm telling you right now, it is some great stuff. And also, too, as Les Brown said, you all have greatness in you. We'll take it 2 steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. And not many people would say something like that. I'll tell you this. We are not ordinary. We are extraordinary here. Kirsten, honor. Thank you for being on, and I look forward to our next show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It's been a complete pleasure.
Absolutely. It's great. I love there's just some people you just connect so damn good with. So we'll talk to Kirsten. We'll get her in here. I hope we can get her in May. If not, we'll have her in, you know, shortly after, whatever we can put together here. But for Kirsten Tulick, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. And you know what? You got one more day in this week. You still can go out and do something magnificent, and you got the rest of your life. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.